Hello everyone and welcome to the Pushfab podcast. Today I'm with my very special guest Matthew and we're going to be speaking about his experience in his career, all about his experiences with mentoring, trends he expect to see, some pieces of advice, some conversation. So Matthew, if you want to introduce yourself to our listeners.
Hello, I'm Matthew King. I'm a digital artist working professionally for a little bit over a decade and I like to talk.
And it's a passion job, isn't it, really, art? So I was going to ask what your hobbies and interests are outside. I'm guessing it's art.
I mean, it's basically the things I do when I'm not working are the art that I can't get people to pay me for, like my crochet.
Have you been crocheting for long?
Crocheting for about 4 years. I do hats and cute little things, and I'm currently crocheting a pie.
Oh, that sounds fun. I watch the videos of people crocheting and I wish I could do it. I'm not good. Things, even knitting as well, I've tried anything. Painting, I'm not the best at it, you know. I'm not the next Picasso, but it's enjoyable. So I'm just going to ask you more about your job role. So I'm guessing you work for yourself.
Yes, I'm completely freelance. I have no salaried position.
And would you just be able to tell our listeners more about your job role, like your typical 9-to-5 in a sense?
No, my job role, I do everything creative that I can think of for clients. So sometimes I'm doing logos and branding design. Sometimes I'm doing children's book illustration. Sometimes I'm doing board game art. It's a really broad range of things. And then, you know, when I'm not working for clients, I also have a couple of projects that I do with my wife. So we create board games. And we've currently got a project going on where we do print and play board games, which we give away for free. So people just go onto our website and download the games. And we're currently just setting up to release all our Christmas games so people can have something fun to do over the festive season. And it's just a really fun way to engage with potential audiences with free, exciting content. So I'm pretty much always working on something. It just depends on whether I'm working on something for my clients or working on something for myself. It's a really mixed and varied life.
It does sound varied, especially, but actually going back to the Christmas games, that sounds really good because everyone loves games at Christmas.
Exactly, that's our thing.
I'll check that out because everyone does love a good game. Have you always worked in the art industry?
It's only really in the last sort of 4 or 5 years where I've started to actually be able to work outside of, you know, a proper salaried position. So I've worked for Hilton Hotels in their marketing department. I was working in a cinema for a number of years. I became the sort of deputy head projectionist for the cinema I was working for, and always with a plan to be working as an artist freelance. But it just takes a while to work out what your strengths are to try and sell yourself, to get that through flow of clients and to build up a reputation so you can get people coming to you on a regular basis and you don't have to, you know, be fighting quite so much to win projects.
My other question was, when did you first become passionate about your chosen field? But I'm guessing from a young age.
So I'm dyslexic, and when I was a kid I was useless at everything until one day my art teacher said, would you like to do a scholarship? It never occurred to me, it never occurred to anyone, but suddenly it was this thing that I was actually good at. And so it was from about 7 or 8 that I was properly focused on developing my artistic skills. And then because I became good at that, it gave me the confidence to tackle the challenges I had with my dyslexia. And, you know, so all my self-confidence, all my life experience and everything that I sort of value about myself comes from, you know, being a creative person and developing as an artist. And so that's, yeah, it's always, but you know, if we're going to put a specific age, 7 or 8.
And what would you say is your favorite part of your role as a digital artist?
I've got a lot of favorite parts. I love it when I get to see a finished product. So I love it, you know, there's a book that I did the layout for recently, which I can now buy from Waterstones. And seeing that in the shop front is really exciting. Yeah, that's really cool. But I also really like getting to know my clients because I do lots of weird and wacky stuff. My clients are rarely sort of atypical mainstream people. And so I meet all sorts of people from all over the world. I mean, I have clients in Australia and in America and Canada and the UK and France and Sweden and Iceland. And I've literally worked for people all over the place. And they all have a different story and a different goal and a different ambition. And so it's really fun getting to know them and just building up this sort of broader sense of the potentials of all these creative people that you get to meet and work with. And so that is also a really, really fun part of what I do.
Are there any projects you want to work on, hopefully, in the future?
Well, I've got a lot of personal project goals that I want to do. So I want to be releasing my own children's books with my own stories and my own artwork. Got more board games on the horizon that we want to do. We're hoping to launch a Kickstarter campaign for one of our print and play projects beginning of next year, fingers crossed, depending on how things go. And then trying to think what else. And then just more. I think really the area I want to grow into is sort of children's book illustration and board game illustration, because it's the fun part of art. Like, I love doing logo designs and getting to know companies and their brands, but you get to a point where, you know, you don't have so much creative freedom with the logos, with the brand, with the branding. So it's fun to do these projects like illustration, where you have a lot more creative control. Even though you're working for a client, a lot of the time they're the author or they're the publisher, and they're going, we have a vision, but you need to implement that vision. So that is really fun, because it's this creative freedom to just go mad and do something brilliant.
Designing kids' books does sound like a really good, like, fun job, to be fair.
There's one I'm working on at the moment, which is really fascinating, bringing Persian and Russian styles together in this story about the Caspian Sea. And I'm having so much fun working on that one. It's going to be beautiful. Really excited on that one. So yeah, I have loads of fun doing those things.
And how long does it take to illustrate a children's book? Is it depending on...
It depends on the style for the most part. Like, I mean, obviously it depends on the number of pages, but they're all roughly the same sort of length. So the thing you have to think about more is the style, because if someone wants this really highly rendered sort of classical fairy tale illustration, then it takes a lot of time. There's a lot of line work, a lot of just time-consuming little detail you need to do. But if they want something that's, you know, black and white, simple sketch, then, you know, that will take a lot less time. And so as a freelancer, that's just one thing. And it's the challenge, because I think most creative freelancers, one of the biggest challenges they have is working out how to charge. You know, what am I going to charge? And how do I decide? Because you don't know how long a project's going to take you. You always go, oh, it's going to take me this long. It will usually take twice as long, because, you know, you have this optimistic, magical thinking kind of process going on, where you just imagine it's all going to happen straight away. So I usually go, it's going to take me this long, double that, and then try and come up with an hourly rate whilst also thinking about what the client can sustain. Because a lot of clients, you know, they're going, I've got a set budget, I can't do that much. I can't afford to be spending, you know, £6,000-£7,000 on an illustrator. So I have to go, okay, how am I going to fit my work into what their budget is? So not undervaluing my work, but giving the client the sort of the options to tailor my approach to fit their budget, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It is a bit of a hard one going freelance, because it's taking on, I know it's focusing on what you do, but it's taking on different roles. So, you know, pricing, marketing, there's just a whole lot of things you need to do and get used to as well.
And so what I talk about with my mentees when I'm doing mentoring sessions is working out what's their avenue for selling themselves going to be. So my approach is, I mean, I bid on projects like most people do, but I have a lot of word of mouth. So I focus on like really good customer experience and making people just feel really comfortable sharing their ideas. And so I'm like a helping, guiding hand who will help them through the project. Because a lot of the time I'm working with people who it's their first time or they haven't done that many projects, so they need a bit more sort of support. But then some people, they're just like, I'm quick and I can do it really quickly. So I think when you're thinking about how you want to market yourself as a freelancer, you need to think about yourself and how you can actually, what sort of soft skills you have to sell yourself to potential clients. Because if you sell yourself on something that's just not your wheelhouse, you're not gonna, your clients are not gonna get the experience that they need to really be happy with the end result. And what you need is your clients just go, oh, this person's amazing, and tell everyone how amazing you are so that you could be getting more things. But you need to be amazing for that client. So there are clients that I'm not the right fit for. And, you know, I have conversations with people and I say, love your project, love your ideas. I don't think I'm the right fit because I think you're looking for someone who's going to work with you more in this, you know, dynamic. And so it's, and I think that's one of the things that's taken me the longest to learn, and the reason it's taken me quite a long time to become a sort of self-sufficient artist, learning what my strengths are and how to then present those to potential clients. And manage their expectations to get good results at the end.
I've actually got on here about a question. It was, tell me a time you faced a challenge in your career and how you overcame it. But you've just done that. Are there any other challenges?
So, I mean, one of the things I have to, it's more like an ongoing challenge, is because I'm dyslexic, written communication can be a challenge. And then particularly when I'm working in children's books, you know, there's a lot of text that has to be processed, or when I'm doing website work for a client, there's a lot of text that needs to be processed. And so working out how to explain to a client that I am not responsible for the spelling and the grammar, and not make it sound like I'm relinquishing responsibility, and but also not trying to go for, oh, pity me, I'm dyslexic or something like that. It's just a fact of the matter thing. These are the terms of how I work. But it's taken me a long time to realize that it's okay to go, just so you know, I don't take responsibility for spelling and grammar. So do make sure that you check everything when you send it to me, and also when I send you the final product, because, you know, obviously you don't want a client sending something to press which has errors in. So I refuse to actually type anything up for a client, because I can spell the same word four different ways in one sentence. So they don't want me, you know, editing their beautifully crafted text with my nonsensical brain.
It's a bit of a hard one, isn't it? Because like you said, you don't want them to make them think you're like not taking on responsibility. But as long as you tell them, and it's their fault then if they don't look over it.
Yeah. So it's more about, you know, owning your weaknesses so that you can just present them, and not, you know, because I think a lot of people, when they've got a weakness, they'll try and hide from it and pretend that it doesn't exist, or try and present to clients that in a way that they're not necessarily, you know, it's a perfectly natural thing to do, but it's not necessarily being entirely honest, going, oh yes, of course I can do this, and yeah I'll check through these things for you. It's this sort of thing you always want to kind of try and add a bit more and hide the weaknesses that you have. But the end of the day, if you end up in a project where you've hidden a weakness that ends up, you know, causing problems within the project, then you're very likely to have a bad outcome. And those bad outcomes end in bad reviews, and they can be damaging to your ability to get further work. So you have to own your weaknesses at the same time as, you know, parading your strengths. So it's not about telling everyone, I can do this, this, and this, but I'm terrible at that. It's just managing their expectations, so they're not going to go, oh, but I thought you were going to do this for me, or I just imagined you do this for me. Just be clear, these are the things that I don't do, and just be friendly and matter of fact about it. But it's just I think it took me a long time to realize that it's okay to just go, I'm not good at that, so I'm not going to do that.
I think that is the good thing about, you know, owning a weakness, is because I say this, I'm really bad at video editing, but I am practicing. But it's just, some people will say they'll do 20 things, but if they're not going to do it right, there's no point, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm just going to ask you now, because I know I did message you about, we haven't had an artist on the show, which is quite fun. Just about your mentoring relationship. So I'm guessing do you have mentees on Pushfar?
Yes. So I'm currently working with my third mentee, and I've had one chap who was living in Portugal from Brazil, one lady working in Serbia, and the current lady I'm working with, I think she's based in, it's either Liverpool or Manchester, I can't remember which. But and they've all been creative people, basically going, I want to be able to do more freelance things. and I want to kind of work out how do I get into being a freelancer, because it's a really daunting thing when you're first there, and it can also be so disheartening because you're applying for projects and you're applying for projects and you just get rejected and rejected and rejected, and you don't know why, because obviously it's you know, people who are got put projects out on freelance platforms, you know, they don't have the time to respond to the 50 people who they don't want to do their project. And so, you know, and so basically what I'm trying to do for the people I'm trying to work with is give them the benefit of my experience, the many, many opportunities I had, you know, the many times that projects didn't work out, and, you know, the many mistakes I made, and just go, from my experience, this is how you can help yourself make that transition from, you know, a regular salaried job to being a freelancer, because being a freelancer is amazing if you can make it work. You know, you're your own boss. I can get up when I want. I can go to bed when I want. I can manage my project as I want. If I want a day off, I take a day off. You know, it's brilliant. But you have to set up and get everything working first before you can have those wonderful luxuries that the freelance life affords.
Are there any other experiences with your mentees you can think of where you've helped them out, you know, with situations, specific situations?
Try to think. So the first mentee I was working with, she had a style that she liked, and she was just trying to work out what to do with it, you know, how to develop it. And so I think with her, the fun thing was seeing her build a collection and build a portfolio. So what I said was said to her, okay, you've got this style, it's a really great style. Have you looked into, you know, board games? Because board games is an area I know a lot about because I do a lot of work in board games. So I was like, have you thought about building your own sort of collection of characters based around a board game? And so seeing her portfolio develop and seeing the material she output after, you know, a couple of conversations, it was really exciting to just see her own the direction, because I think, you know, obviously for creative freelancers, developing your portfolio is really, really important. There are so many things you can do. It's difficult to kind of get the focus to do it. So what I encourage people to do is come up with focused projects for the development. And so that's what I did with her. That's what I've done with all my mentees. I go, okay, what's the sort of projects you want to win? And then what I do is essentially I become sort of the hypothetical client, so that I go, okay, design me your brand for this restaurant, your imaginary restaurant, and then I'll be the client. Because when you're developing your portfolio, the challenge is if you don't have a client to be accountable for, you know, if you don't finish your project. And so what you need, and that's what the mentee-mentor relationship affords, particularly from a creative perspective, is it gives that accountability. So, you know, I say, okay, in 2 weeks' time, we'll meet up again. These are the goals that we'll try and achieve by then. If you've got any problems in the meantime, let me know. But in 2 weeks, we'll chat about this project. And that's what I've did with the first, actually, that's what I've done with all of them. And basically, you know, it just helps them to focus and build that thing and build that portfolio and build that sense of direction for building that portfolio. Because realistically, you can have all sorts of qualifications, but in the freelance space, particularly creatively, the qualifications mean very little. It's the portfolio that wins you the project. It's the portfolio and it's how you present how you're going to help someone with a project. So if any creatives are listening and they're thinking, how am I going to do this? Get your portfolio right, set yourself projects, and, you know, build something and build the projects around the sort of things you want to do. Because obviously, if you want to do the project, you'll be much more focused and much more geared to actually working for your clients for that. If you go, if you try and do something that you're not good at or you don't have the inspiration to do, you'll find it a much harder process to build the portfolio, but also to do the projects and to sound like you care when you're talking to clients. So yeah, that's what I do with my mentees. I help them build the portfolios with like focused projects.
And how did you hear about Pushfar? Sorry, I've got to ask just out of curiosity.
I think it came up on Facebook. Like, I think I was just browsing Facebook, and then there was like a post, like an advert saying, are you looking for a mentor? And I was very much looking for a mentor. And so I went on looking for someone to help me sort of develop the business aspect of what I do, because, you know, I'm not a great businessman. I don't, you know, I don't have that kind of business savvy. And particularly with the way we want to develop our board games, I need to be a bit more intuitive in terms of how I approach business and the business questions of, you know, the business choices, I suppose. And so that's what I was looking for. But then I just got approached by people saying, oh, would you like to mentor me? And I went, okay, sure, I'll see how that goes. And it's been great fun, and I actually learned quite a lot, because by trying to help them answer the questions about how their project should look, or how the work they should do, it focuses my mind on what's important to me, what's important about my process, what are my soft skills that are important to my clients, and so on and so forth. So it very much enhances my understanding of my own practice, helping other people develop theirs. So it's actually been surprisingly helpful to myself personally, working for other people and helping them develop their skills.
And will you continue mentoring now?
As long as people want to be mentored, yes, I will. If anybody wants a new mentor, I'm very chatty and I can at least talk for a while. So, you know, I might be able to help you.
Have you ever had, you know, experiences with mentoring before finding your mentees? Like, had you been mentored? Or
so I've had a couple of people ask for help online, because, you know, I'm on all sorts of groups chatting about all sorts of things, from children's book illustration, board games, and people going, you know, what do you think of my artwork? And I go, okay, well, I think this is really good and this is really good, but if you try developing it that way. And then they go, oh, well, would you be able to give me more help outside of this platform? And I'm sure, I'll have a chat and we'll see how it goes. I've also done some sort of small bits of like work with schools, so animation workshops with children and things like that. So obviously mentoring people from Pushvar is different from working with children. But at the same time, you've got to kind of go, okay, what's the lesson plan? You know, what program are we going to follow? So, you know, the way I start with a mentee is I'll ask them, what are their goals? And then I'll ask to see their portfolio, what they have at the moment. And then I try and sort of work out how I would work on developing if I were them. And then I'll sort of go, I'll bring up various artistic inspirations, say, have you looked at this person? Have you looked at that person? So that they have this sort of background to build their work, you know, to build their sort of styles off. Because again, as a freelance artist, a lot of the time you need to be more flexible with your styles, particularly when you're working commercially. I have maybe a dozen styles I work in, and that's a major selling point for me. So, you know, because when you approach a client, they want to see the style they're thinking of in your portfolio. And so if you only do one style, then you'll only really be able to win projects that look like you. And when you need to be, you know, making a certain, you know, number of thousands of pounds a year or a month to be, you know, actually able to be self-sufficient, you need to be winning as many projects as you can and successfully completing them. So broadening your appeal where possible is really, really valuable.
I don't want to keep you too long. I'm just going to move on to my final questions. Yep. Now, do you recommend having a mentor in relationship?
Absolutely. It's very hard to develop in a vacuum, but you need to have someone to challenge you. You need to have someone who has experience, who can understand the challenges you're going through and the challenges you face. And sometimes you just need someone who can give you the confidence and you just go, no, your work is good. You know, because one of the biggest problems creators face, and every creative I know faces it, is imposter syndrome. You start a project and you go, oh my God, I can't do this. I'm useless. Everyone else's work is better than mine. But the reality is your work is good. You know, if you've got to the point where you're trying to be a freelancer in a creative field, then most likely your work is already good. You just need to have the focus and the, you know, the determination to keep pushing and developing yourself enough to get the ball rolling. And as you build your reputation, it really does start to snowball, and you get bigger and bigger projects, you get more established, you get more people coming to you, and it's brilliant. But having that mentoring relationship can really help cut years off the time it takes to get there.
And in terms of your goals, what would you say your long-term goals are?
Do more. I want to do more creative projects, more varied projects. I want to work with more people. I want to do more of my own things. Obviously, at the end of the day, I always want to make more money, but I also want to work with worthy projects and work with, you know, charities and, you know, work with more charities and do just more, because I've already got to the point where I'm happy. I'm really happy with what I'm doing and I'm really happy with the work. I just want to do more of it and have more published books out there and more, just be more and do more and have more fun. So yeah, do more. That's my goal.
Another question I always ask, but you've given so much advice to people starting, but it's normally, I normally ask, you know, is there a piece of advice you'd like to share? But you've given loads. So maybe wash it. Top piece of advice for someone starting in the art field, the art industry. There's
two things that kind of go hand in hand. Don't be afraid, because if you're just afraid and you don't try, then, you know, you'll never see what you can achieve. And then the other one is just try. Just put yourself out there, challenge yourself, and, you know, you can do amazing things. You just need to give yourself the opportunity to do them.
So I'm going to end that here. That was great advice. So obviously, thank you to our wonderful listeners for joining us and our wonderful guest, Matthew. If our listeners want to learn more about mentoring and how it can work within your industry, they can check out our other podcast or go to pushfad.com. But if they want to check out Matthew's work, I'll leave a link in the description. And I hope everyone has a lovely day.